Good morning. My name is Heath. I'm the lead pastor here, and I can say probably for the first time that we could end right now, and we've just had church. I don't know if y'all felt that too, but man, God is good. And so I'm just going to hold you for a little bit longer, even though, you know, God has been good already. And I feel almost like there's a lot of weight on this because God's here. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to close our last sermon in our Written and Read series. So dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I am so grateful, Lord, that you didn't leave us to solve our problem, but Lord, that you solved our problem completely in the cross. And so, Lord, I pray that anything that would take away from that, that is getting ready to come out of my mouth after I say amen, I pray that you would remove it. And Lord, I pray that the message, the simple message of it is finished, would capture us this morning. And Lord, would you do that? Lord, we just acknowledge that without your Holy Spirit, Lord, we're incapable of change. But Lord, the gift is that you've given your Holy Spirit to us so that we can. And so, Lord, we just give you, I give you my words, I give you my conscious thought just to speak your word with power and authority. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, if you've not been with us, it's okay. We've had, I think, 7 sermons in the series, Written and Read. And here's the big idea. The big idea is what's written and read in the 4 Gospels are important because they are spoken by the man that we're going to talk about today, and his name is Jesus. And they have some ability, they have complete ability to change and transform our lives. And if we can grasp that, and if we can look at his word in that regard, that it has power for us to change, and it has the ability to speak into our hearts, then we'll look at it differently. Because if not, we'll look at this as a task to be done in our daily devotion instead of an access point through the Son directly to the Father. And he wants to change us. He wants to finish what he started. And today we're going to end, if you've got your Bibles, it's going to be on the screen also anyway, but I always encourage you that, you know, it's good to look at what's in front of you and believe that it's coming from there and not me making this up. And we're going to be in John 19, verses 26 and 30, and then I've got lots of other scripture that I think is going to kind of compile this together. And here's the thing. We exist in a world of things that are left unfinished. I mean, I know that we are into the summer. We are officially in the summer now. But January is not too far to think about New Year's resolutions and these things that we commit that are going to be done, and this idea that we love in our hearts to complete things, but in reality, there's a lot of things that are left incomplete. And actually, Jesus, in another story, was talking about the gravity of us understanding the commitment we're making in following him, and he gave a parable, he gave a story of that about a man building something. And he said, you know, it is best to look and see what you have so that you can make sure that you can finish what you set out to accomplish instead of getting halfway through and then people will understand that you didn't finish what you started. And this is our life. We start so many things, and if we're not careful, that mentality of not finishing will transfer into our belief because, and hang with me here, because of our own life, we'll think that Jesus didn't finish. Because of our own inconsistencies, because of our own faults and failures, we'll look to the cross and believe that Jesus is similar to us, that he did so much in regards to our redemption, so much in regards to our salvation, but he didn't get quite there, or we wouldn't be in the position that we are, fill in the blank with where you're at. And that's not me picking on somebody in this room. That's humanity. That's your pastor standing up here with a microphone on preaching the gospel, who is also living in humanity, understanding that only by the grace of God will I be what he desires. And so this morning, I want to ask, because I think this idea could transform your life. Because I think there's two things that are going on in believers in our world that we encounter with and with us that are sitting in this room. There's two things. There's one that have completely got it. Not that they're perfect, not that they don't sin, but they get it. They wake up in the morning and understand that it is the cross that has set them free. It is the sacrifice that he has made. It is his bloodshed that has set them, and they're working their way into becoming like Jesus by the power and authority of the Holy Spirit that God has placed inside of them. And there's another group, believers, that we believe intellectually that Jesus has paid it all, that his sacrifice was complete, but there's a part of us that is still trying to earn a love that he freely gives. And then when we do that, we pollute our efforts to connect with the Father, because instead of picking up this in the morning and understanding this is my access to see into the heart and the reality of who God is, I look at it as a means for him to love me more. That if I, because we have children, well, if you have children, I have children, and we understand, or I understand as a parent, that when they behave, I'm happier. Right? And so we like to transfer that into Jesus too, that when we behave and we do the things that we are, that he's happier with us, instead of the reality that Jesus has cloaked us with his goodness, with his perfection, and Jesus is looking in on that. And so if we're not careful, we'll hear today's message and go out and try to earn his love that he already freely gives. So if you're there with me, we're going to jump into John, verse 19. And I don't want to necessarily, because my point is net in verse 30, I don't want to like discount all that Jesus has gone through. So I'm going to give you a little kind of rundown. This is leading up to the cross, which was the plan. Even though his disciples didn't get the reality that Jesus was going to die, and even though Peter rebuked him, and then... which I hope Jesus never looks at me and says, "Get behind me, Satan." Though I think maybe a few times he might have. I mean, but they didn't get it. They didn't get it. And he goes willingly to the cross. He stands silently before his accusers. And he says the words that seal his death. Because they call this hasty trial, and there's conflicting stories about who's saying what about Jesus. But then Jesus, the one question he answers is that I'm going to sit at the right hand of the Father, and that was it for the religious people. That's inhumanity, because they were looking at Jesus as a person, as a man only, and not part of the Trinity. And they missed it. And he said the thing that sent him to the cross, and he willingly went there, although he had the power and authority to make it stop immediately. And he allowed, I mean, if you can, I'm into superheroes. So is Jacob. And, you know, it's almost like, if you can entertain me for a minute, it's like Superman allowing himself to be changed. I don't know if you saw Man of Steel, but when they arrested him and he walked in with these little puny handcuffs on, and he's Superman, and he sat down at the table, and she was like, "Well, you can just get out of those." And he's like, "It makes them feel better." You know, it's like Superman willingly bending his back and allowing himself to be abused, because Jesus at any moment had creation authority. He spoke this into existence, and he could have stopped it, and he willingly allowed it to happen to the point where they nailed him on the cross, and he is in anguish. And I loved Matt's comments that he was thirsty for the things of God, and he never ended that. You know, at the beginning of him going on the cross, they wanted to give him this wine that was mixed with gall, which is a thing that kind of takes some of the pain away. But it also dulls your senses. And Jesus refused to have anything that would take away from the reality of what's going on. Because he wanted to get to this point. He didn't want to be taken away from the pain. And that's what happened. And he was sitting there on the cross. And I love the beauty of 26. And this is just for free. In verse 26, it says, when Jesus saw his mother and his disciples whom he loved, John, who's writing this, which I think is hilarious. Anyway, side note. Whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Referring to John. Jesus is like, I'm going away. I'm not going to be your son living and breathing on this earth anymore, but woman, mom, I love you so much. I love that his concern, he was freeing humanity from sin, and his concern was still for the simple of his mom. And I think sometimes we forget that Jesus still remembers the little. He's not just as concerned about the big, the cross and what that means, but he's concerned about the little. And he said, woman, behold your son. And then he said to his disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. And then we get where I want to go. So that one's just for free. Verse 28, it says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill Scripture, I have thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, and they put it in a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished, and bowed his head and gave up his spirit. See, there's the complexity, and I mean, if you really want to get into this, there's so much, the complexity of this phrase. Because he's not just talking about, it's finished, meaning I've now paved a way, for you to have access to the Father by the forgiveness of your sin. But he's also saying, it is finished. The plan that originated in Genesis, well, before, but we first hear about it in Genesis 3:15. Where the plan that, you know, I think sometimes it feels like God doesn't have a plan. He had a plan. And all of that worked out perfectly. Jesus came and did all the things that his prophets came and declared he would do. Which is funny because the religious people of the day knew exactly the things that he was supposed to walk into, saw them happen, and still ignored the fact of who Jesus was. And in that moment, not only is he sealing or really opening the grave to those who trust and believe all the way back to Abraham, not only is he taking the finished wrath of God that is destined for us who sin and have fallen short of the glory of God, but to the letter, he did exactly what the Father asked. Completely. There is not one thing that was left undone. There was not 99.9% of what Jesus was 100% obedient. He says, actually, in other place in the Gospels, he said that I only say what I hear the Father saying, and I only do what I see the Father doing. And he did that perfectly up until his death, and he gave himself away. This word, it is finished, is actually translated from a Greek word that's called teletestai. It is an accounting term that means paid in full. I don't need a show of hands, but just in your brain. Let's show of hands. This is safe, okay? Who owes money here? Okay? That's good. Not good, but you know, we're all in the same boat, but an accounting term. So tomorrow, if you get a call from your mortgage company and someone has paid in full for your house, it's done, which would be super nice. I mean, you would be hearing about it next weekend, I'm just saying. You know, that'd be nice. There's a lot of money that I owe for the house that we live in and a lot of years left to pay on it. And if someone called me tomorrow and said, it is paid in full, what does in full mean? Does it mean I need to go to the bank and pay the little extra? Like they left a little left for me, and maybe so I can feel like I'm a part of it, like $100, $1,000, $10,000. No, it's paid in full. And see, the reality is that every sin that we check off in our life, every sin that we allow, every sin of omission and commission, the things that we know that we're sinning, the things that we don't even know, that we're doing unconsciously that are offending God, is a debt that is acquired over and over and over again. And our debt pales, our debt of sin pales in comparison to our mortgage or your highest debt that you have. And it's sitting there needing and will be paid in blood by someone. And Jesus here on this day by these words is saying it's paid in full. Now the key is because... And we're going to get into this. I want you to understand that my big thing of us moving out of it is finished to really living it is finished is belief. It's not something else. It's not like you behaving better tomorrow. It's not like you getting up an hour earlier and doing more devotions and more prayer time, which I'm not saying don't do that, but that is not adding to. It is belief. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 through 6. And sorry, there's going to be a fair amount of scripture this morning, but I just want you to get this. Paul got how important this moment was. Verse 1 in chapter 15, it says, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, and in accordance with the Scripture, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance to the Scripture." Paul preached a lot. He wrote the majority of the New Testament. If you're going to open up the New Testament and read something, the likelihood, especially if you're out of the four Gospels, is that this man wrote it. And here he's saying, of first importance is that Christ died for our sin in accordance to the Scripture. This is the cornerstone of what we stand on. This is the cornerstone of who we are. Okay, now let's go to Romans chapter 4, verse 23 and 25. It is finished for those who believe. That is the key here this morning. It is not finished for everyone. It's finished for those who trust and believe in Jesus. Verse 23, it says, but the words, it is accounted to him, which is talking about Abraham, it is his faith is accounted to him, were not written for his sake alone, but for others also. It will be counted to us who believe. It is finished. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Skipping ahead to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 23. This is a longer section. It says, there is power for those who believe. And this is the key. It's not just, hey, you need to just believe this, but there's power in our belief. And this is, again, written to the church in Ephesus. It says, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. What are the riches of His glorious inheritance to the saints? And here we go in verse 19. It says, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe? It is finished. According to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above rule and authority, power and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. Still now He is. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. So, I'm stealing this quote from someone. His name is Matt Chandler, just so these aren't my words. But listen to this. Now, and this is referring to the scripture, it says, now, try to get here with me. The same power, the same supernatural, God-saturated power that healed the wounds of Jesus and resurrected Him from the dead is now at work in those who believe. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead is now working in us. How can we become like Jesus other than the power that is working in us that comes from Him and not from us? In the deepest part of our being, the Holy Spirit of God, the power of God, is at work restoring and breaking down and rebuilding. Can I get an amen? Amen. This is normal. I think sometimes we get caught in our own sin. We get caught in our own mess, and we think that this is not typical, that God has not a plan for fixing such a broken person, when in reality, He's quite aware of our brokenness, so aware that He sacrificed His own Son on the cross so that we can, right now, for those who believe, have power working in us. Breaking down and rebuilding, healing our wounds, replacing broken parts and putting together fractured bodies. The same power that was at work in Christ is now at work in us. There is security for those who believe. So here are my things just again. It is finished for those who believe. There is power for those who believe. There is security for those who believe. I love, this is my, if I have a life verse, Romans 8:37 is it, which we're going to get to that in just a second, but hear this. So not only is He interested in giving you the power to do that, but listen to these. Like in a lot of this, if we look at His word and believe this, so here, just think for a second that this is the reality of what Jesus is speaking to His children. Romans 8, starting in verse 33, it says, what shall bring charge against God's elect? So who is going to blame? Who is going to bring a charge against God's children that have believed that it is finished? It is God who justifies. Who is it that condemns? Jesus Christ is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us right now, sitting here right now. He is more concerned about your healing, your transformation, your freedom than you are. Right now. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. And then verse 37. No. Which is refuting all those things. Shall we fear those things. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. More than conquerors. Another translation of that phrase is we prevail completely. Completely. It is finished. We are more than conquerors, and not by our own strength, not by our own wisdom, not by you, the better you that you're going to find tomorrow and lead you out of the not better you that you're living in today. But I'm talking about the you right now. You are more than a conqueror through Him. That's the key part. Like, I can see what the world has done in all our self-help books has said, you are more than a conqueror, leaving the through Him who loves us part out, going, if in you, you can well up yourself, you can conquer everything, and it's going to be perfect. Well, the reality is that it wouldn't be a multi-billion dollar business encouraging you to be better if people got better. Because if people got better, then their business would fail because they wouldn't need to get better anymore, so they wouldn't have to buy their books. Instead of what we do as a people, because we live in a partial world, which is we still have Jesus, but like, let's get this book that's going to tell me to think better about myself and believe better about me and well up this thing that I have inside, this power source. I mean, if you want to go Star Wars, some Metachlorians or whatever. Yeah, is that what it is? Okay. Sometimes when I just pull stuff out, I might make stuff up. So, but you know, this power source that's in us that's not Jesus, but it's like, it can, you know, we'll be better. Instead of this, that no, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him who loves us. That is the reality. For I am sure, not me, Romans, Paul, for I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. So can your, if this is the reality, can your addiction separate you? Can your imperfection separate you? Can your not-so-perfect marriage separate you? Can anything separate you from the love that is Jesus? And see, if we could, I think there's a bubble that we're getting into right now. Like there's a belief that's stirring, I think, when the word is preached. There's a belief that, like, in this moment, we're all going, yes, we can conquer the world. We're going to take it over. But that door busts our bubble a lot, I think, on the way out. That we hit that door, and it's like, oh, like, he can't fix this marriage. He can't fix me. I'm so broken. Instead of, there's nothing that can separate us. There's nothing that can separate us. So I've got a few questions for you. And the first one is, if it is finished, if all of these things that not I said, but the Word says, and the reality of our experience with communion, of going to the cross and admitting that it is His body and His blood that has made us who we are, my question for you is, do you believe that? Do you believe that in you, your belief that it's finished? And here's what I'm not saying. Because some people are hearing when I'm saying, do you believe, is it finished? You're thinking in your head, do you believe I'm perfect? It's not what I'm saying. I believe that tomorrow all of us are probably going to fall short of the things that God has for us. And what I do know in that, God's going to take our brokenness and our faults and our failures, and He's going to lead us back to the cross. 2 Corinthians 12, which isn't up there, I love this. Paul, who is the dude, he's probably the smartest person in the New Testament. I mean, he's a little arrogant at times. I think I would like Paul, but I don't know if we could be friends because I don't think I'm smart enough to be around Paul. And so I'd feel incompetent all the time. But Paul, in his mercy, had a struggle. And I love that, you know, if the world was writing the Bible, it would leave out all the faults and failures of everybody. Peter would have never cut off somebody's ear. Jesus would have never said, "Get behind me, Satan." It would have never been recorded if it was our word. But he recorded it, and he said this. He went. Paul had an issue. We're not sure what that is. And he prayed three times that it would be removed. And here's the word of the gospel for you this morning, is that my grace is sufficient for you, and that my power is made perfect in your weakness. So I will boast all the more in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may increase. That's the gospel. That's where Jesus, the reason why he went to the cross is not so you could live halfway. You know, John 10:10, he says he came so you could have life and life in abundance. The abundance will only be had living in, believing in the reality that it is finished. So my next question for you is, do you believe that he has done everything necessary to make you more than a conqueror through him who loves you? And so what we're going to do, I'm going to invite our worship team up. And I think sometimes if you're not normally a church-going person, I think sometimes at this point you're like, the sooner I can get out of here, because you feel like maybe conviction, or you feel like, you know, it's a little overwhelming or a little emotion. And the last thing that you want to necessarily to do is let it linger. And our reason for a song at the end of their service is that so it will linger. Because the longer you're in that bubble of belief, the longer that you're in that just filling place, the more powerful you're going to be outside of this place. And so the reason why we go into this place, the reason why we're going to sing a song, isn't necessarily just for the song, because we do want to worship, but it's so that you, in this moment, can go, God, I'm only half. Like, I believe you died for me, but I believe it wasn't enough, and I want to change that. And I want to live in the reality that it is finished. And as always, there could be an opportunity that you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you've never trusted in him, and today is the day. Based on what you heard about the gospel, which is you have been separated from a loving God by your own willing sin, and Jesus knew that, had a plan thousands of years before you were even a concept. Thousands of years he had a plan. And Jesus on the cross finished it, which is paying the price in full for the sin that you've committed. And his blood cleanses you today. And as we go into this last song, if that's you and you've lived outside of the grace of God, all you've got to do is, here I am broken. Thank you for your gift of your Son. I believe that he has paid my debt in full. And I want to live there. And so when I live there, I want you to give me the power to live there, which is the Holy Spirit that he gives us. And so regardless of which one of those two that you are, I just ask that as we go into this song, just take an honest look at you. Because the best place that we can start changing the world around us is changing the one in us. And that'll change so much more. So I'm going to pray. We're going to go into our last song. We're going to worship, and God's going to do business with us. And we're going to have people at the end of the song or during the song to be there to pray for you, to encourage you. If there's something that's going on in your life, all you have to do is go and ask. We're all broken. Walking up front is not an acknowledgement of the broken. It's a power for you to change. So, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it is by your grace and your mercy that right now we're sitting in here and we have heard the truth of your gospel. We have heard the truth in the reality that you have finished. And so, Lord, I just pray over this last song, over the last few minutes, that you would just pour out your Holy Spirit, that power that enables us to grow into the things that you have for us. Lord, I pray that you would just fill us, that you would encourage us, that we would you would open our eyes, you would open our ears, and that you would soften our hearts to be willing to be obedient to a loving, caring Father. And so, Lord, just have your way with us. In Jesus' name, amen.